stake your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. Also, if you want to be fancy, you can just ask your smart speakers to play ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz, and we start with the headlines that you need to know, and a big one in college football. This is breaking news. Texas has said 13 players have tested positive for the coronavirus. The University of Texas announcing that 13 players tested positive or are presumed positive, and contact tracing has 10 more in isolation. Texas started bringing football players back to campus for workouts on June 8th. The school has also identified four other players who tested positive for the COVID-19 antibodies. So at this point, we'll see what that means moving forward. Kansas State officials reported Wednesday night that 8 Wildcats athletes have tested positive for COVID-19 out of 130 testing. This is a reminder that as these guys get on campus, wherever they've been and they come into campus, there are going to be COVID-19 tests and there are going to be ramifications to that as college football figures out how to move forward. Next up on your headlines, the Atlanta Dream star Renee Montgomery has decided to sit out the 2020 WNBA season. She'll sit out the season to work on off-court initiatives, but becoming the first WNBA player to publicly say she won't play since the league and union announced an agreement Monday on a proposal for the season to start July in Florida. Quote, there's work to be done off the court in so many areas in our community. Social justice reform isn't going to happen overnight, but I do feel now is the time, and moments equal momentum. Let's keep it going. So strong statement in what she believes and what she stands for Renee Montgomery to be the first WNBA player to announce she will not play. And speaking of NBA basketball, there's NBA news. Oklahoma City Thunder executive Troy Weaver has been hired as the next GM of the Detroit Pistons. Weaver's agreed to a 4-year contract. Quote, I'm excited for the challenge of building this team into a consistent winner and assembling the pieces to compete at a very high level, Weaver said in a statement announcing the hiring. He will become the 9th black GM in the league and will work with senior advisor Ed Stefanski in running the Pistons basketball operations. Those are your headlines. This is First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM channel, and 80 ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests and you guys can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. The way you do that, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm going to ask you guys a difficult question. Okay. Every day we like to ask questions. We like to get you involved in the First Take conversation. I want to have a discussion today. Notice I'm saying discussion, not a debate, because I really want your thoughts. I'm not going to debate you on it. I want to discuss with you an important issue when it comes to what you want from your favorite team. See, myself and so many people in the media consistently tell you that we expect to hear from owners. In fact, we're going to do some First Take today where you hear their thoughts on the fact that we haven't heard from Jerry Jones. I am curious if you actually want to hear from your favorite team's owner. As a fan, is it something that's important to you? And if it is, if the values or beliefs don't align with your own, will that change your fandom? I'm genuinely curious, not from a media talking head standpoint, but from your standpoint, sitting there in the stands and sitting there right now watching TV, watching everything that's happening in the world today. Do you want to hear from the owner of your favorite team in any sport? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to prove the world wrong, prove that we can have nuanced conversation over the next couple hours over these issues and what you were actually expecting from your team. So while you guys load up the lines, we'll start with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. Just $45 a month saves you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. The Straight Talk comes in the form of more coronavirus conversation as Dr. Fauci has spoken out on how he thinks, frankly, the NFL and football in general could be played safely, essentially saying that football teams would need to emulate plans by the NBA and MLS for a bubble format or consider not playing at all in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic. Remember, he's obviously the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, key member of the White House Task Force on the Virus. And he said, quote, unless players are essentially in a bubble, insulated from the community, and they're tested nearly every day, it would be very hard to see how football is able to be played this fall if there is a second wave, which is certainly a possibility, and which would be complicated by the predictable flu season. Football may not happen this year. Now, that's just Dr. Fauci's mindset. There are obviously many others. The question is, should the NFL be adopting a bubble model in 2020? Dan Orlovsky joined Max and Stephen A. Smith to discuss the bubble model options for the NFL.
I definitely would concur that the NFL should adopt and embrace what Dr. Fauci is saying here, because I think it's necessary. But I also think it's important to understand, because you decry a lot, Max, about people reopening the economy and what have you. Listen, this is the reality of the situation. I think it's incredibly important to understand. We don't know when a vaccine is going to be available. And short of a vaccine, the reality is that at some point in time, you're going to have to embrace going out and taking a chance because we live in a world economy. I mean, this is a capitalistic society, and you can't just shut down businesses and stay at home and expect to survive. It's unfortunate. And I'm not going to get into the weeds and all of that, but that's the reality of the situation. I think if they had a vaccine, guys, and they said, listen, we will have a vaccine, but it will not be available until March of 2021. Then I think it's a lot easier for people to sit back and make the case of not moving forward because you've got something that you can wait for. It's got a definitive date attached to it. And then you're projecting the sacrifices and the cost that those sacrifices are going to come accompanied with. And as a result, you can plan accordingly. The problem is because everything is so, nothing is finite, rather. Everything seems to be up in the air and indefinite. You're essentially asking people, at least in their minds, to just sit back and let life pass them by without moving forward because you have no idea when that's going to transpire.
And I'd like to just respond to this very quickly.
I know that. I know you would like to respond. We heard you. You're going to respond. All I'm saying is that's the mentality of people. And because that's the mentality of people, it's easy to transfer that to NFL owners who are looking for an excuse to ignore all the information that you, Max, and so many others have. And as a result, we need to hope that Dr. Fauci saying what he says at least affords them the mindset of having, look, we got to be in a bubble. We got to be limited in our access to the outside world. This is what it's going to take. Even when we see loved ones, guess what? We can't hug and kiss them sometimes. Sometimes we might need to stay 6 feet apart from them. Sometimes we just got to, you know, we got to handle it that way as opposed to just being regular. We have to accept it, embrace it, and move forward because that's what we're living in
Dan,
right now.
Dan, I'll give it right to you. I'll just say, Stephen A., yes, that's right. People don't want to sit there unless it's a disease that's going to, you know, the 90% mortality rate or 50%, like unless it's a bubonic plague or something like that. People are not just going to sit in their houses forever. That's right. Eventually, people need to live their lives. But it's going to be a very different kind of life in the near future than what people are used to. It requires much more discipline than many people have been showing, and that some political figures and other business leaders would like, because it has a dampening effect on the economy, even if it doesn't grind the economy to a halt. So leagues like
the NBA, who had
a sober view of this, said, here is what we need to do, and they had a realistic approach, and it can be done. The NFL, pie in the sky, starry-eyed. And what Fauci is saying reflects that. You can't do it the way you want to do it. It's going to have to look much more like the NBA.
It's not like the NFL came out and said, no, we're just going to play this season as is and nothing is going to change. The reason the NFL hasn't come out with their exact plan that you're asking for is because they have multiple plans. Because the situation is changing almost by the day. And so there's no reason for them to come out and state their exact plan and then have to change in the next 48 hours, because what we're learning is going to change their plans. Listen, if the NFL's only option is to play in bubbles rather than not play at all, everybody is going to go play in the bubble, and that's totally fine. The reality is this: if they don't play this season, the NFL owners are going to lose a ton of money. I'll talk about it from the owner's perspective, literally financially. NFL owners on average make about $250 million a year for their organizations of revenue. If we take this NFL season and put each team in their bubble, in their own bubble, you're looking at about 120 employees, okay? And then you're looking at about 150 days if you go August to the back end of December, which is for most of the league, excluding the playoff teams. Let's say on average, each guy is going to cost the team in their bubble, right? Can't go to your family. You've got to pay for their housing and their food. Let's say on average, $500 a day for each guy. That comes out to about $9 million of expenses for each team. So their opportunity to make $250 million of revenue, that might be a little bit different because ticket sales and all that stuff. But the investment of $9 million, like, yeah, if that's the only option, let's put everybody in the bubble. We'll charter planes if we need to. That's an easy thing. Guys will seclude themselves from family. I've said this before. If you told me, Dan, you have the opportunity to make your $3 million salary this year, the only thing is you can't see your family in person for the next 5 months, I would say, absolutely, put me in the bubble, sign me up. My wife would go, you're going to go away for 150 days because you cannot have the opportunity to make that money back. And so if that's the NFL's only option, then let's go do it.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. The problem is, let's be real, a bubble solution isn't a solution at all because there isn't a spot in the world where the NFL can throw 32 teams up and have them play. This isn't like the NBA where they can play on different days and stagger things. The fact is, even if you turn around and say, okay, well, we're going to put eight games on Saturday, eight games on Sunday, you're still going to be constantly dealing with strange scheduling and that, and you're going to have to find some place that can have that many games going on over the course of 24 hours. I just don't see a logical solution. And I heard, you know, this morning on Golic and Wingo, I heard Mike Golic Jr. jokingly say, hey, move it to Vegas, put everybody in the hotels and let them play in Allegiant. I would love that personally as a Vegas guy, right? I would love that. It's just not capable of happening. So the problem is, if you're looking at it and saying the only real solution is a bubble, then you're really saying there is no solution. So if you're the NFL and there is no plan B, as I've said repeatedly, we've heard no plan B. If there is no plan B, then all you can do is plow ahead with all your momentum for plan A, because it's plan A or nothing. And that might be a reality for the NFL. If Fauci says it can't be done and the owners aren't willing to lose the money for not having NFL season. And frankly, we all want the NFL. I get all of these things, but you can look around and say, well, this side needs this and this side needs that. It's impossible to do because this isn't about what anybody wants or needs. It's about a virus. And when it's about a virus, this isn't something that owners can simply fix. So you either got to go all in knowing that plan B is absolutely impossible to execute, or you've got to figure something out. I just don't see anything that the league can figure out. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Again, we're going to take your take. I want to know, do you want to hear from your favorite team's owners? The media keeps asking for it, but what do you want? Instead of us speaking for you, you guys speak for yourself. What do you want from your favorite team? And if your favorite team's owner speaks out and it doesn't align with your values, then what? I'm genuinely interested to know your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Some of you guys are holding on. We'll get to you in just a minute. Before we do that, there's another big take that came from First Take today, and it came in the form of Chuba Hubbard. Not everybody speaking for. That's the theme of the show today, right? Like, not speaking for Chuba Hubbard, speaking directly to. He joined First Take today and gave a very poignant interview about his thoughts on all things Mike Gundy, his thoughts on the shirt, his thoughts on what's going on in Oklahoma State, and where they are right now. This is Chuba Hubbard, part of his interview today with Stephen A. Smith and Max.
When I first saw that tweet and first saw, you know, a lot of emotions were going through my head, as well as my teammates. And like I said, you know, I'm a man. I can admit when I'm wrong. The way I went about it was not right, but I stand by everything I said. And, you know, I'm not a politician. I don't know anything about any of that, but, you know, I stand for what's right. And I felt what he did wasn't right.
Chuba, thank you for being on the show. Did you speak out against your coach because he wore the T-shirt and because of what you feel and felt it represented? Or did you speak out, or was that the final straw per se? Were there other things that bothered you about how the coach needed to be educated, and this was the final straw? Which one was it?
Maybe it's a little bit of both. I feel a lot of people need to be educated, including myself. And it's my job to educate myself first and then to educate people that aren't educated. And I feel that, you know, a lot of things have happened in these last few days and even these last few years. But my job is just to, you know, move forward and try to, you know, make Oklahoma State, you know, a better place.
Has there been any appeal or appeals to your personal loyalty by Coach Gundy, by any administrator, by anyone, to publicly stand with your coach and program in this moment?
Well, I think people have to get it twisted. You know, I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm not trying to belittle anybody. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to bring awareness to the injustice that's going on in our society. And I'm also trying to help kids, student athletes just like me, you know, encourage them to use their voice and use their platform, because change can happen.
But Chuba, the reason I ask is because in that original video, you're both standing there. It seems to me that you're the aggrieved party in a larger sense. And it seems like through some conversations, this is just my view of it from where I was sitting, maybe Coach convinced you or someone convinced you that, in fact, Coach was the aggrieved party because he didn't apologize, but you did. So I was wondering what that process was like. Did he reach out to you? Did you reach out to him? Did someone else? And what was said? I understand you don't want to betray loyalty, but what was said more or less in that situation?
Yeah, we had long conversations, and obviously that video came out. A lot of people thought, you know, everything's good now. And that's not the case. It's a work in progress. But I wanted that video to be a first step showing that he understands what he did wrong and he needs to move forward. And if not, then, you know, there's consequences for those things. And that's the main thing I wanted to come out of that video. You know, like I said, I'm a man and I'll always own up, you know, for what I did. And like I said, I felt that I went about it the wrong way. And I felt that, you know, people need to know that. But I stand by everything I said.
Well, you stand by everything you said. And what here's where I come back to my same questions about Mike Gundy, because you rushed for over 2,000 yards last season. You led the FBS in rushing. Obviously, you're an elite running back. You're considered one of, if not the best in the business right now. You could have went to the NFL draft. You basically announced that you were going to stay at school. And then months later, when this goes down, you basically gave indications you ain't coming back unless, you know, this is addressed, because it's something that you're not going to tolerate. I guess what everyone wants to know is, what are we to make of Coach Gundy and how the players feel or felt about him prior to all of this? That's what people are trying to find out right now. Can you provide some insight into the kind of man? We know he's a good coach. He's won 66% of his games. But as a man, how do you guys feel about him as a person, even before all of this?
Well, first off, I'll say, you know, I can't answer for other people. You know, my teammates, everyone feels differently about him.
You.
And I can't answer for them. For me, me and Coach Gundy's relationship, it's a work in progress. He's admitted to his faults and he's trying to move forward. And for me, you know, I see that as, you know, a positive first step.
So when Coach Gundy speaks and he displays the level of contrition that he appears to have displayed, is that enough for you guys moving forward? What's the mentality of the team right now? I know you can speak for yourself. You can't speak for other guys, but they are your teammates. I'm sure you've spoken to them as well. You're clearly not standing alone because you were in an auditorium at that particular moment in time, or a room or what have you, and everybody was there. What's the mentality of the team right now about Coach Gundy as we speak?
You know, change. We need change now. That's the biggest thing, you know. There's a lot of people on our team that are passionate about, you know, the same things I'm passionate about. And, you know, the thing about our team that's so special, we're one, we're tightly knitted and we have great chemistry and we all want the same thing. And that's, to, you know, to have a better experience for black athletes and really all athletes at Oklahoma State.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Don't forget, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Gets you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I want you guys to chime in. Do you want to hear from your favorite team? So I want to hear from you guys. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to John in New York. John, what's your take on this?
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. With the Cowboys, Jerry Jones is late to the wedding. I really think he should have said something 2 weeks ago.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
Yes, from New York, actually. I am a Cowboys fan.
That's crazy. So you want to hear Jerry Jones' voice. Now, if he comes out and he says something that doesn't align with what you think, will it change the way you view the Cowboys?
Never. A big Starbuck fan.
Well, and look, I think, John, thanks for your take on it. You know, to hear it from a Cowboys fan, that's why I think this is important. Because we can sit here all day as media and say, oh, my God, this person needs to speak out. I want you guys to tell me if you actually want to hear. Casey in North Carolina. Casey, what's your take? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I listen every day. Yeah, from North Carolina, so Panthers. David Tepper, he's a relatively new owner. He's taken a couple of years to let things play out and see how the business works. And he's wanted to make his mark. So, you know, Teddy Bridgewater's got injury history. It'd be a pretty good sign to go ahead and sign Colin Kaepernick and see what opportunity he can be given.
And that's an interesting take, because you're right. Tepper is still proving who he is as an owner. And, you know, part of the conversation for the Panthers has not always been a glowing one. We all know that. So, you know, the opportunity to come in and make a statement about how he's going to run the organization, I think, is important. Hiram in Hartford, I think I'm saying this right. Hiram in Hartford, thanks for calling the show. What's your take? Thanks for calling.
Brother, it's actually Hiram.
Hiram, thanks, brother. Sorry about that. We'll get it right next time. What's your take, my friend? Nope.
First of all, thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy your voice and your energy that you bring to sports. This is a great question. And at first, when I was hearing the question, I called up and was like, no, I don't want to hear what my owner thinks, because I'm a Cowboys fan, Jerry Jones, and I'm a Celtics fan. And I know that these teams are owned by rich billionaire white guys that don't really understand the black experience. So I didn't want him to just come on and say something cliche. And I also didn't want him to come on and say something that they really weren't experienced to speak about and put their foot in their mouth and have everyone attack them for just their opinion and being asked to speak out. But once I did call the show up, I said, wait a minute. I do want to hear what my own, what the owners of these teams think and these organizations, because it's important. Are they tone deaf? What are their views? Some of these guys are very old. They were around at a time when bigotry wasn't frowned upon as it is now. So, yes, I want to know what Jerry Jones thinks. I want to know what the Celtics ownership thinks. I want to know what everyone thinks, because this is a social issue that everyone needs to put their input in, because not one person has the answer. Not one media, not one piece of government has the answer. This is a societal issue, and we need to hear from society. That means me, that means you, that means all of us. That's the way this is all supposed to work, right? We're supposed to be talking.
Look, I love your take on it, and I love what you're saying on it, and that's why I think this is important. I think everybody's changing their mind as they go, but you make a great point. I mean, I get nervous when I see my favorite team speak out, because I'm nervous that, you know, my beloved Raiders would handle it the wrong way. So I think a lot of people are feeling that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to keep taking your thoughts. Do you want to hear from your favorite team's owner? Plus, will Colin Kaepernick get another chance in the NFL? We've got some more opinions going on it, and First Take broke it down. You'll talk about that next. But first, friends of you, back to work at the J-O-B. The one you realized isn't right for you, that's if you're lucky, right? Well, make your move. You can start your new life as an IT pro in just 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Take control of your future right now. If you're back to work and you're miserable, or if you're sitting at home and you realize you don't want to go back to work, this is the time to effect change. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. We'll get more of the rocket science from you next. More of your take coming. First Take, your take. ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Also, if you want to be fun and fancy, you can just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio, and it gets you right to us. That's the way you can do it. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys are hanging out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What I'm asking you to chime in on. All right, the media is constantly saying that we want to hear from owners. We're expecting to hear from owners. You hear that a lot on First Take. I want to hear from you guys. Do you want to hear from your favorite team's owner? Do you want statements to be made? And if those statements don't align with your values, then what? That's what I want you to chime in on. I want to have a real discussion. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Don't forget, ask Sherwin-Williams. Save 30% on paints and stains June 19th through June 30th. Shop in-store or order online for curbside pickup. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See stores for details. Speaking of the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, we're going to head over there now for one of my favorites. ESPN NFL insider Diana Rossini joins us now. Diana, a lot of conversation, obviously speculated yesterday after Anthony Lynn's comments about teams would be crazy not to have Colin Kaepernick on the workout list. So given that one statement, what's the trickle-down effect, if any, for the rest of the NFL as they look at Anthony Lynn being the first to speak out?
Yeah, the Anthony Lynn conversation was interesting. I was actually on that call, and, you know, when Coach came out to say, sort of like, it was obvious that you would work Colin Kaepernick out, it kind of was a little bit of a surprise because we haven't really heard any organization come out and admit that, yeah, he's on their list. And, well, he's not on their formal workout list. He's more in their emergency category, so to speak, because their roster's filled. You know, him saying it's crazy not to have Colin Kaepernick, which, you know, while I'm listening, I'm also thinking to myself, well, you're crazy to not have Colin Kaepernick come in for a workout, but what about the last few years? Like, what changed, you know? But here we are, things have changed, because there are a lot more teams who feel comfortable sharing that, yeah, we'd be open to it. I haven't found a team that's actually scheduled to bring him in or have had conversations. That doesn't mean it's not happening, of course, but no one's really shared that, yeah, he's going to come in this time, you know, once we figure out the rules with workouts. But most GMs and head coaches I've talked to over the last few weeks about Colin Kaepernick have all sort of just made the assumption he's not just going to get a workout. He's going to get workouts, plural. So I do think he's going to get an opportunity if that's what he wants to do.
And that's the really important part of what you just said at the end, if that's what he wants to do. I mean, we're in a situation now, Diana, where I'm looking across the landscape of the NFL, and so many teams have addressed the quarterback position in the last few years in the draft that it feels like there isn't even a spot for Cam Newton if he's healthy and he wants to play. So do we have any indication yet on what Colin really wants and what he's looking for?
That's been the big question, and I think there's a lot of reporters that have covered him. I know reporters with ESPN who are very close to him, and they just haven't had contact with him. They haven't been able to really get in that inner circle again and have conversations with him. You know, I'll hear whispers throughout the league that he does want to play. He wants to play. I kind of come from the space of, I want to hear him say it. You know, I want to see that start to happen. But you know, as of now, I think it's going to be a very similar situation that we're going to see with Cam Newton, which is, you know, the job opportunity is probably not going to present itself until we see training camp and we start seeing injuries.
We're talking to ESPN NFL insider Diana Rossini on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Love that you transitioned me right there perfectly, you know, until we get to training camp. So let's talk about training camp, because COVID-19 testing is obviously going to be such a major issue. What is the NFL's plan if there's an outbreak?
So it's funny. Sean McVay just said on a Rams Zoom call, so let me get this straight. We're supposed to play football, but social distance. How is that supposed to work? Right. And so he says that to be, I think, candid, but also that is the sentiment of a lot of people right now. How is this supposed to work? What are the rules going to be? And, you know, players hopped on a call last night to discuss it. It's kind of like what we're seeing around the league where, you know, every sport is trying to come together here. And the players are trying to learn as much as they can about what this protocol could look like today. The competition committee today, which is made up of a couple coaches, a couple GMs, a couple owners, they're going to be on a conference call with the medical teams of the league and the players union, which those two are not always on the same page. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that. But from what I can gather right now, training camp is still scheduled to be that last week of July, that, you know, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th days, you know, every team kind of like one day spread apart. But there's been discussion about starting early, and players that I'm talking to do not want that. They didn't, you know, who wants to come to work early? But, you know, obviously we can expect a lot of testing to be done, which has been a consistent message in all these conversations I've had. And, you know, the way we've seen it, I think, with all of our workplaces, where you got to get your temperature taken and you're going to wear a mask and you're going to try your best to stay 6 feet apart, I guess, until you start tackling each other.
which is just so strange. So Diana Russina joining us. And Diana, Dr. Fauci made the comments earlier, and it's on ESPN.com, that really he thinks the only way football can come back safely is to come back in a bubble. Any momentum for that concept that you've heard about?
No. In fact, I reached out to the league to try to get a response. And, you know, Dr. Sills, he's the NFL chief medical officer. He basically shared a pretty long statement saying that they're going to do everything they can to be smart about this. You know, they admitted this is no, you know, easy task for them. I think we can all sort of understand this. But he ended his statement basically saying we're going to be flexible and adaptable in this environment to adjust to the virus as needed. So while I do think we're so focused on when we're going to start, what's going to be really interesting is, you know, if there is going to be the second wave and flu season, the way Dr. Fauci sort of is predicting here, that falls around the playoffs in the Super Bowl. So what's that? How's that going to look? What if there's, you know, more cases that reveal themselves as the season goes on? So I think we can all pretty much guarantee at this point the way the testing and the way that the league handles this at the start, I bet you will not be the same as the season progresses. They're going to have to adapt, as I think the rest of the world has, right? And as we learn more and see how this is going to work. But right now, collectively, everyone is frustrated because they just don't have the answers to how this is going to work.
I'm just saying, Dan, and now I'm going to spend the whole season convinced that my beloved Raiders are finally going to make the playoffs again, and then they're all going to test positive, God forbid, COVID-19, right before the first playoff game I see in years. This is going to be in the back of my head throughout the course of the time. Now, I'm not going to be well all fall, but at least we'll get football in that process. Diana, exactly. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you hanging out with us. Always appreciate your expertise, my friend. Thanks for hanging out. Be safe. Thanks for so much.
Thanks, guys.
Great stuff from Diana, ESPN NFL insider Diana Russina joining us. We're taking your take. Do you want to hear from your favorite team's owner? The media is telling you do, but do you actually? Al in Pennsylvania. Always love it when Al calls. Al, what's your take? You want to hear from your favorite team's owner?
At this point, no, I don't. If you'd asked this question maybe a month or 6 weeks ago or something like that, when most of this turmoil was just getting started and stuff like that, and they spoke out on it, I think they would be believable. But I think with all the time that's gone by now, it's kind of hard to tell if they're, you know, if whatever they said would be genuine or not.
Al, you know, that's such a good point by you, and you always make great points, Al, but you're so right, and that's why I continually say the longer it takes you to speak, the less likely everybody is to believe it, and the more it gets dissected, because if it takes you a long time to make a statement, every single word is going to be overanalyzed, and that's just, I mean, it happens either way, but if you're Jerry Jones and you finally make a statement now, can you imagine how we're going to parse through those words word by word and take every single meaning? I want to take more of your take. I don't want to cut anybody off, so stick with us. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep taking your take. Plus, 60 games is not going to do it for Major League Baseball players. How many will it take? You'll hear what First Take thought next. First Take, your take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. You can also just tell your smart speakers to play ESPN Radio. Super easy that way. Presented by Progressive Insurance, I'm Jason Fitz. This is Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. Go check it out. You won't regret it. We're going to get to your take in just a second. Actually, I want to take one of these out of the top. I want to take Louise in Maine chiming in. We've been asking you for your take along the way with whether or not your favorite team should speak out, your take on all of this. Louise, what's your take?
Well, I think it's a good thing to have all this publicity about conversations and so forth and games, and I'd like to see all of them up and playing, but I'd rather wait till they're a little bit safer. But and I guess what I called in about was Colin Kaepernick and what the relationship is with football.
Sure, and what's your Kaepernick take?
Well, I think I would like to see a team or teams call him in and ask him if he would prefer like to play tryout for to play and or be a public relations person for their team.
And that's a great, Louise, that's a great point. that I think we have to remember that there's two different roles that Colin Kaepernick can play here. One would be on a roster. Two, if he doesn't want to be on a roster, if there isn't a good situation for him, if there's somewhere that he doesn't love the quarterback layout across the landscape, what says that he doesn't work with either a team or the league specifically on bigger, broader issues? There are two different ways that the league can win here with Colin Kaepernick. That's a great take, Louise. I appreciate it. We'll take more of your take in just a second. I want you to hear a little, though. Major League Baseball, obviously, the owners made their proposal back to the players for 60 games. Buster Olney was on Golic and Wingo and made it clear that 60 games, not going to be good enough.
I don't think, based on what I was hearing last night, that 60 games is going to get it done. You know, will the number have to be 68? Will the number have to be a 70? But I think among most folks on the player side that I was hearing from last night, it was, we need more. And they're also hoping that there are going to be bigger picture mechanisms put in place to help free agents in the fall to address larger issues for the players before they get an agreement.
Now, that means we're going to get reaction from Stephen A., of course. What's he think about 60 games not being enough for players? This is a little what he said today on First Take.
If they mess this up at a time when the global pandemic is taking place before our very eyes, with us recognizing that it's relatively easy to have baseball because you can literally engage in the sport while also employing social distancing all at the same time, because you don't have to be in each other's face, believe it or not. The fact that you would allow these dollars and cents to get in the way of the sport continuing,
it
is an unmitigated disaster. The likes of it's insanity. They will not recover from it. And I think the majority of owners are smart enough to know that. And they have the clout and cachet to convince the third of them to come on board with it. I really think it's that simple for me, Max.
Stephen A. already.
Along the lines, listen, instead of 60 games, have the 70 games, please. Have the 70 to 75 games. It's just that simple, because if you really think about it, that's basically what the players are saying. Not 60. Give us 70 games, 75 games. Mm-hmm. We got a deal. That's all. And listen to Dr. Fauci.
These owners are all billionaires. They've all made an incredible
return. Making sure that the
NBA
MLB season ends sooner than later.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. That's a little of Stephen A.'s take on Major League Baseball. I want to get back to your take as you guys are chiming in on whether or not you want to hear from your favorite teams. Brad in Illinois. Brad, what you got?
Yeah, so I'm a displaced sports fan. I'm a Georgia sports fan. Moved to Illinois not too long ago. So Braves, Falcons, you know, Hawks. I don't necessarily care to hear from my team's owner unless they are going to directly oppose the progress we're making in heading in this direction. If they're going to come out and say we specifically support police brutality or whatever the case is, that's the only way I would want to hear from them, only because my allegiance to them has to do with where I'm from and what I loved growing up, as opposed to their political views or their social views. And the thing is, even if we have differences in those arenas, we can always agree on the actual sports team. So unless the owner is going to say, you know, as for me and my house, this is what we represent, then, I mean, even if we have differences in different areas, we can always agree on sports. So that's my take.
Now, I love your take, and that's really interesting because, you know, I thought you were going to go in a little bit different direction when you started. I thought you were going to say basically, I want to know, you know, so that I know if we, you know, if we don't align. But it's an interesting take of saying essentially you don't want to know unless you are so polar opposite that you have to know. Because let's face it, you know, I've said this before, but I grew up in a world where my mom said the one thing you didn't talk about at the dinner table was religion and politics, because you don't want to know that level of your friends. Well, that's not the world we live in anymore. But we do have to make these decisions with the businesses we support. So I think it's interesting that your take is essentially, unless I'm supporting somebody I absolutely don't want to support, and I know that for sure, then just don't tell me. That's an interesting take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want more of your take coming up, more of your thoughts on exactly what you want to hear from your owners, plus some more college football thoughts on the big news out of Oklahoma State. That's all.